If that's true, there's not going to be any rewards in heaven.
Right. Come on.
Some people have this idea that only perfect people will be rewarded. If that's true, there'll be no rewards in heaven. We can just cut these verses out because they must not be true, because he just said he's going to give some people some crowns. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's the problem. When we look at crowns or rewards, we're looking at us and not him. See, his standard of righteousness is perfect. It's got to be according to the law. But on the other hand, he knows that you will never reach perfection here on planet Earth. And therefore, he puts righteousness on you. And that makes you love him so much, you look for his appearing. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, help me, Baptist. Some of you act like a bunch of Methodists sitting out there. Or ex-Methodists. Amen? And look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And Revelation 2:10. Now, I'm not talking about what we deserve. I'm talking about what we're going to get. Now, when people get this haughty spirit that they're better than you and they're better than everybody else and they're a better Christian, just hang around a while. They're going to fall. Just hang around. We've seen it over and over and over. Let he that thinketh he standeth, he needs to heed, because he's going to fall. And if he's not smart enough, or she, I leave out women on a lot of times. If she thinks she's better than everybody else, watch out. She's in for a fall. It's coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, look at chapter 2. I think it's verse... verse 10? Chapter 2, verse 10. In verse 10 he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Amen? That's the crown of life. Now, if you want to take the baby in there, my wife and them, they wouldn't mind you coming in there with them. They're not really doing that big a deal as far as the baby's concerned. So, there's another crown, the crown of life. Now, turn to James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. And I'm trying to get there myself. Y'all be patient with me, okay? The crown of life, now not... Not everything that everybody says is true, and I got my pages so marked up here I can't even find James. Come on, Ron. I got to quit doing this. I'm ashamed of me being a preacher, and I got my pages so... If I just take it and empty all this stuff out, there it is. James chapter 1, okay? James chapter 1. Now, not everybody that talks about the crowns agrees on the crown of life. Some say that everybody gets it because it's called the crown of life. They say, well, that means eternal life, and everybody gets it. Look at James chapter 1, verse 12. In verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him." Now, he talks about the man who endures temptation. He's talking about a man that goes through some things, but he's faithful. Amen? And he says, now, when that man goes through those things, he's blessed. You know why? Because he's going to get a crown of life for that. Now, that's for faithful endurance. There's a lot of people going to heaven not faithful. Because we're not going on our own merit. We're going on his finished work. And there's a lot of Christians going to wake up in heaven. And they're going to go to heaven. And the Bible even goes on later and said they're going to be saved, yet so as by fire. Meaning what little bit they did it selfishly. They did it for their own glory. And at the judgment seat of Christ, those works will be tried and they will be burnt up. They'll be no good. They'll get no reward for what they did. Well, I was pastor. Yeah, but why were you pastor? Well, I was a Sunday school teacher. Yeah, but why were you a Sunday school teacher? Well, I was a deacon. Yeah, but tell me why you were deacon. Well, I did this and I did that. And I'm not talking about lost ones that he says depart from me because I never knew you. These are people they knew at the judgment seat of Christ. But those works will be burned up because they were not enduring works. They were not done for the right reason. Okay? I had this pastor one time tell me, he said, being a pastor would be a wonderful job if it wasn't for people. I had to scratch my head. What? I know these Baptist, independent, fundamental, fire-breathing Baptist preachers. You know, with the big rebel belt buckle and the cowboy boots. And their dream is to have a church somewhere out in the desert of Arizona or way up in the mountains of Montana. You know what I'm talking about. And I just got where I asked those guys. I said, why? They said, well, it's so beautiful and there's not many people there. I said, then why the church? If what you're really saying is, I don't like people, you need to get out of the ministry. You're not getting a crown for that. Amen. Bump that thing up. I see your wife rubbing her hands together to stay warm. Just bump the thermostat up. Billy, go bump that thermostat up 1 degree. I shouldn't ask a sick man. I know. But listen. Oh. Stay out of my preaching. Why would you want to be in the ministry and not care about people? Why would you want to teach Sunday school and not care about people? Why would you want to be a deacon and not care about people? Why would you want to do anything in the local church or through the local? Why would you go to nursing home? Why would you go and not care about people? So if they're doing those things and it's not because they love people, because he first loved them, they're doing it for the wrong reason and it will burn up.
Come on now. Yeah.
Those same people, Brother Billy, the least tribulation, the least little criticism, the least little conflict, and they will quit. They'll get out of church. They'll get out of the ministry. They'll quit doing anything that they claimed they was doing for God in the first place. And they'll quit. They will not endure hard times.
Come on now.
Yeah. I've seen people come to church, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, this is where I ought to be. Hey, God put this place for me. You're the best pastor that ever lived. You're the most wonderful preacher. And right then, I know something wrong when they say that. And boy, this is it. This is the right. And I think, you won't be here long. When people talk, you know what I'm talking about, flattery. And they get talking like that, and I just start watching. Won't be but just a little while. Somebody's going to say something to hurt their little feelings. And they're going to leave. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Let me tell you something. If God put me in a church, you couldn't run me off with a shotgun. Amen. And God saved me, and he called me to preach. And a lot of devils have tried, but you couldn't make me stop preaching the gospel of Christ.
Come on now.
That criticism I heard from that lady this morning said she saw one of our former church members, and she asked her why she don't come anymore. She said, he preaches the same thing all the time. And that lady told me, she said, I didn't tell her, but I thought this, maybe you were only hearing what the Lord wanted you to hear every time. You need to get saved. Amen? Because I can't even remember what I preached last week. I don't know how she does it. And listen, that same lady, she said this. She said, in a way, though, she's right. I said, she is. She said, yeah. She said, you'll start off with lots of different subjects. You'll explain that subject, and you'll finish it up with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the need of a Savior. And she said, I thought that's what you were supposed to be doing when you preached.
Amen.
I said, amen. Amen. I'm going to keep that woman here if I have to go get her. Amen. But there's a lot to be said for faithful perseverance. The incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 calls it. Faithful endurance. Look, if God has saved you and put you on the path, all the devils in hell should not be able to stop you. I preached that this morning, didn't I? And how many have we seen come and fall by the wayside? Now, it's one thing to fall. I preached that last time, didn't I? You was in children's church. Y'all don't get to go to church twice a week. I used to be in the same thing. He's in children's church. Two to thrive. I just spit on you. Two to thrive. You almost made me lose my place. I'm going to stay away from you. You distract me. But we've seen them come and go. I've been saved since 1978. I could not count the number of people I've seen falling. And that doesn't mean that they fell and got back up, and they fell and got back up. The Bible says a good man will fall and get back up, and fall and get back up, and fall and get back up. And Jesus looked at one of the disciples looked at Jesus and said, how many times are we supposed to forgive these people? He said, 7 times. He said, no, 70 times 7. And by the way, if you can forgive somebody 70 times 7, you'll lose count and just keep right on forgiving. Amen? Hey, everybody falls, but not everybody stays down. Amen? And so therefore, if you fall and get up 70 times 7 times and get to heaven, you'll get the crown because you endured.
Come on now.
We live in a sorry generation. And I know my mama said the same thing about my generation. And it was. Amen? Matter of fact, my generation is messed up. Most of the things that's going on now, they're all messed up. But to find Christians that will endure, go through heartache, heartbreak, criticism, even condemnation by others, misunderstandings, they sin and get over it. Those are as rare, write this down, as hen's teeth. I've said that before. I'm glad you wrote it down. He's writing down all my southern saying. You ever seen hen's teeth? They got them in California. You know how you see them? You got chicken fingers. I ate some of them today. That wasn't real good. Hen's teeth, they're rare. I've never seen any. Amen. But a good Christian's hard to find, and they're rare that will endure when everybody else criticizes them. And when they fall and get up, after a while, they just give up and stay down. That is not endurance when you stay down and you don't get back up. But there's some folks, I've seen them over the year. And I'll say, I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how they do it. I don't know how they endure that. I don't know how they keep going. And they keep right on going. And one day they're going to wake up in glory and Jesus is going to give them a crown for being faithful.
Amen. Yeah.
And that other crowd's going to be standing over there that criticized them. And they're not getting a crown. That other crowd, amen. I tell people this. I say, look, if you'll just keep going, you will outlast your critics.
Amen.
Last time I said I've been accused of everything but painting black babies white, I'll turn that around tonight. White babies black. I've been accused of everything. I don't even know. I don't even know no more. I quit listening, quit trying to keep up with it. I started church fight one time at his church, and I started to fight until years later he came over here and told me. And I preached on the love of God.
That's exactly right.
And I wondered, how did I start a church fight preaching out of King James Bible on the love of God? Well, let me tell you something. That crowd don't even exist anymore that was in that fight. They're not even in church no more. They gone by the wayside. I'm telling you, if you'll endure, you'll get a reward. Don't you quit. What you ought to do is get mad and look at the devil and say, devil, I ain't quitting. You can't make me quit. Your little minions can't make me quit. I'm going to live right. I'm going to walk right. I'm going to talk right. I'm going to dress right. I don't care if the women make fun of my clothes. I don't care if the men make fun of my haircut. I don't care if my children misunderstand and my grandchildren misunderstand. If I get fired, hey, if they kick me out of the church, I'm going to keep right on living for God. And you'll wake up one day in heaven with a crown. Amen? And you'll have one to go with that other one where you loved his appearing. So now you got two crowns. Amen? You're going to get two. You're going to get two. I'm prophesying now, okay? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Y'all pray I don't lose my voice before I quit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And now, we don't live to be rewarded. Amen? But we will be rewarded because we lived right. Amen? Come on, help me. Now, we don't live right to go to heaven. We're going to heaven because we're saved. And we try to live right to please our Savior. It's not to win heaven. We've already got that. He said in Ephesians 2, ye hath he seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as he's concerned, we're already in heaven. We're not waiting for that to be determined. The judgment seat of Christ is not about heaven or hell. It's about reward or loss of reward. Do y'all understand that? If you don't, I hope you will by the time you... Look at chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, listen to this. He said, for what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He said, what is our glory in heaven? What is our rejoicing in heaven? Is it not those that we have gotten to the Lord and got them saved? Now, there's a lot of people going to go to heaven that never led one person to Christ. And there's going to be others that go to heaven that were not even responsible in any way for somebody else getting heaven. So there's a special reward for the soul winner. It's called the crown of rejoicing. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing I've ever done since I've been saved, and I don't think it's preaching. I apologize for that all the time. I apologize again for it this morning. Because I just can't get what's in my heart out, you know. All the time. But the greatest experience I've had next to salvation was leading somebody else to Jesus Christ. I mean nose to nose and toes to toes. I don't mean they just came to church and got saved. Now, I'm sure there'll be some credit for that. But I mean to sit down and personally say, look, let me take the scriptures and show you how to know for sure if you died, you go to heaven. That is one of the most wonderful things I've ever experienced. And when I first got saved, I went to Preacher Falkenberry and I said, Preacher, I need to do something. I feel like I need to do something. Can I clean the bathrooms? He said, no, we pay a woman for that. I said, can I cut the grass? He said, no, we pay a man for that. By the way, we don't here. Sign up on the cleanup list. It's on the bulletin board. The key is right here for whoever does it next. And Rudy takes very good care of the yard. But I said, all right, I need to do something. What can I do? He said, go visit him with me. And I got in the car and went with him and went to the hospital that day. And this is true. I don't think there's a person in that hospital that did not know my pastor. All over that place, he knew them by their name. I can't remember your name half the time. You can't either. And we'd go through there, and the maids, the little black ladies that was cleaning up the nastiest part of the hospital, he'd stop and talk to them, and they'd just laugh and joke and go on. And he'd invite them to church, and they'd talk about Jesus.
and we'd go in these rooms. Back then, now you got to have a federal ID or something just to get in the hospital. You notice that? Go to see somebody, say, I want to see Joe. Joe who? Well, Joe Smith. Well, what's his legal name? I don't know. His name's Joe Smith. And she'll say, we can't tell you that. It's against the law. HIPAA. That's right, HIPAA. HIPAA. And so he took me through that hospital, and we went room to room in the hospital. And he'd go in the room. People he didn't even know, he'd just go in there and he'd start talking to them. He'd say, well, we want to pray for you. And they, of course, everybody wants to be prayed for. And then before he prayed, he'd say, but wait a minute, I need to know something. And they said, what? He said, do you know for sure if you die right now, you go to heaven? If they said no, he'd say, well, let me show you. He'd take his Bible out and start showing. Total stranger, never met him. And he led some people to Christ, go to the next room, do the same thing next room. It set me on fire, man. I said, I need to learn how to do this. He said, there ain't no learning. Just go do it. Amen. Just go in there and start doing it. Well, they won't let you do that in the hospital anymore. But I have led people to Christ. And I'll never remember one night I had about 15 people on a van. And we went to this apartment complex. I said, I want y'all to knock on all these doors. Invite them to church. If the opportunity comes up, I want you to witness to them. If it don't worry about it. The Lord will witness to them. Just you inviting them to church and talking to them. So we unloaded that van, and there was this one preacher boy from North Carolina who had come to help me lead the singing. I'm not going to call his name. But he came to help me lead the singing, and I was trying to encourage him on how to do things as a pastor. He said he was going to be a pastor. And I said, now, brother, you're going to have to go out here, and I'm going to give you somebody to take with you, and you take those apartments over there, and I'm going to take these over here by myself, and then there's some other people doing those back there. He said, what'd I say? I said, just knock on the door and tell them where you're from and invite them to church. And then if the conversation goes on, because we're probably going to be run out of here within about 15 minutes, somebody's going to call the manager and complain. It always happens. And if you don't leave, they'll call the police. I've had the police run me off many times. It run the crackheads off, but it ran me off. But we're all through, and everybody's getting back on the van. And Brother Billy, I'm standing out there looking for this boy, and I don't see him nowhere. I mean, I'm thinking, we got to go. It's 8:30. I never go past 8:30. And they're going to call the law. And about that time, I heard somebody say, preacher! Preacher! I got me one, preacher! Preacher, I got me one, preacher! Preacher! And he had this little old 12-year-old black boy running behind him. He said, here he is, preacher! I said, boy, what's going on? He said, you're right, preacher! It's good! Now, every time that happens, you're going to, hey, those people will get a special crown. You know why it's called the crown of rejoicing? That's the most rejoicing thing I can think of, is to keep somebody out of the devil's hell. Come on, man. Amen? Amen. I better go on. We run out of time. You run out of patience. That's the crown of rejoicing, it's called in the Bible. Now, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Boy, I wish I could get some of y'all excited like that. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'd have to put up a tent. We wouldn't be able to hold the people. We're full on Sunday mornings, and I brag on it. Maybe I shouldn't, but I brag on people. And but boy, if two or three of y'all got it that excited about that, we'd be full every service. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. Now, I said, number one, everybody that's saved is saved by the grace of God. You are not saved by your works. You understand that? These are not salvation. These are rewards for being the right kind of Christian. Amen? Amen. Come on. They're not going to... Hey, that's not what's getting you to heaven. You can lead people to Christ and you not even be saved. I told y'all last week about that story I read about that Baptist pastor got saved after pastoring for 26 years. He got born again, and the next week they voted him out of the church. Now that man had been preaching the gospel. He said what he and he told what he preached in his sermon. He had preached the gospel for 26 years. People had walked the aisle. people had gotten saved. You say, you think those people really got saved? Yeah, he wasn't saving them. Jesus was. God can use a donkey to preach if he wants to. Amen. He did in the Old Testament. He used a donkey. And some Baptist preachers I know, I would use the other word for a donkey. He can use anybody he wants to. Amen. So it's not that this man was lost and they were lost because he was lost. No, he gave them the gospel for 26 years and people got saved and then he got saved. Well, let me tell you something. Just because they got saved for 26 years did not make him saved. Now, we go to heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. On our way to heaven, we live a life that will either be rewarding or losing of crowns and rewards in heaven. Not loss of salvation. Some of us had fallen and gotten up so many times. I'm glad that we know that it's the grace of God that saves us, okay? Now, in I'm sorry, I lost my place. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort. Now, I want you to stop right here before we go any farther. In the Bible, in the King James Bible, the qualifications for pastor are all the same under three names. Pastor, bishop, elder. That's all the same office. That's not three different offices. That's all the same office. Go back and read the qualifications. You'll see. So he's talking to who? Help me, class. Pastors. He's talking to pastors. So, he said, the elders which are among you, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. In other words, the pastor don't make you do things. He leads you in what to do. You understand that? I'm not a cattle driver, Brother Holroyd. I am a sheep leader. Amen? I lead, they follow. If they don't want to follow, that's up to them. Cattle, you ain't got much. But anyway, feed the flock, taking oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, those that want to, not for filthy lucre, it's not for pay. And I can take you all over this town to some pastors. If they cut their pay out tomorrow, they'd leave the church. Yeah. Yeah. I can take you to one in town right now, makes over $100,000 a year. Not counting his benefits. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I'm just saying you take that money and let's see how long it lasts. I've seen it happen over and over and over. So he said, now you pastors, not by constraint, you don't force people to do things, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. Look at this. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Now, the pastor's not your lord. You don't have to follow me. I'm not your lord. And if you ever start telling me you're following me, I'll point you to Jesus. Amen. Because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not looking to the preacher, not looking to the pastor. I'm not your lord. Now, I can give you scriptural things, and I can even give you some of my own opinion, but opinions like armpits, everybody's got two of them, some of them stink. And so I can give you my opinion, I can give you guidance the best I know how, but I'm not your Lord. And when I preach something, don't you sit there and think the preacher's trying to make me do something. I'm not trying to make you do anything. I'm trying to lead you, and I never lead you anywhere that I haven't been or I'm on my way. All right. Not being lords over God's heritage, but look at this, but being examples to the flock. Now I tell you, follow me. Now I may not always be perfect. I'm not. I'm certainly not. And I tell you, don't follow me as a man, but as a pastor, you can follow me. Scripturally, you can follow me. Now don't follow me up at the house when me and my wife's having a big disagreement, because that might not be a... She usually wins, by the way. Don't follow me when I'm ruining my grandchildren. Don't do it that way.
the scriptural things, and I've said it over and over and over, a church without a leader is chaos. A free-for-all. This church will never be a free-for-all while I'm here. I'm serious.
There's been times I'm...
And by the way, well, we got to vote on whether to excommunicate somebody. No, we don't. I'm the shepherd. I see the wolf. I call them up and say, "Wolf, stay at home. We don't need you down here. These little sheep can't handle that." If I don't like that, well, go to a pastor that don't care. But I'm telling you, I'm not your Lord, but I am the pastor. And as long as I'm here, it won't be chaos. Everybody ain't going to jump up and do that which is right in their own eyes. We got a book to go by. We've got a rule book. We've got a guide book. We've got it, brother. We've got everything we need right there. And I'm talking about the old King James Bible. It's been around over 400 years. It's been working that long. We're not messing with it. We're not rearranging it. We're not changing it. We're going to go by it as the best we can. And where we can't, we're going to say, "Forgive us, Lord, help."
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Amen.
I'm not your Lord. I'm your pastor. Now look at this. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," he's my chief. I'm his under shepherd. I'm your shepherd. In this little church, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now the pastor gets another crown.
Now, I didn't even know that when I surrendered to preach. It wasn't even on my ideas, you know. I just knew that God wanted me to preach. And I didn't know I was supposed to pastor. And one day my pastor walked up and said, "You want to preach at Chain Gang?" I said, "Sure." Because you see, I had all this wonderful training. No, I had no training. You see, I'd been so many times, I'd never been. I said, "How you do it?" He said, "There's a big old pulpit out there with wheels on it over in the corner. You go get that thing and you roll it out there to the middle. Then you walk back there in those cell blocks and you invite all of them to church and the families will still be there. Go out and you'll invite the families. And then when it's time, stand up and preach your heart out for a solid hour. And when you're through, push the pulpit back over there, say amen and go home."
I didn't know I was going to be a pastor, but I wanted to be a preacher. You know, you hear these stories of people say, these pastors say, "Well, as soon as I started preaching, these great churches called me, you know, and these great people called me, wanted me to preach." That never happened to me. By the way, it still doesn't. See, y'all just don't know I can't preach. Because you ain't never heard nobody could.
A real pastor, not just a preacher, but a real pastor. I'm going to end it the way we started. The ministry is about people.
Amen.
And the pastorate is about people.
Amen.
See, a preacher, he'll get up and preach as long as you give him a title and a spotlight. I mean, not all of them that way, but a lot of them, you know what I'm saying. And then finally, when you're gone, he's gone, and he don't feel no different about it. But me, every time I see an empty pew, there's a question mark. I wonder, what has happened? Are they sick? Are they backslid? Are they up at the mountain, down at the beach? Did I say something? Did I do something? Did somebody else in the church say something or do something? And my little sheep is wandering. And if they're out two or three Sundays, I'll go hunting them.
Amen.
And I'll take that staff and I'll say, "Now you've been out of church enough. Come on, let's go back." And I'll grab that sheep with my staff, that hook on that thing, and I'll bring them back to church. And if they say, "No, I'm not coming back to your church," I'll say, "Well, do me a favor, go to church somewhere. Don't let whatever this is get you out of the will of God."
Amen.
If you don't want me to be your pastor, go somewhere, get a pastor. If you took Joel Osteen's $24 million away from him or whatever it is he makes now, he'd quit preaching. If you would go out here to the elevation where they're trying to do levitation, and you take that little spike-haired so-called pastor's money away from him, he don't even know those people's names. He ain't never visited their house. I go to see people. You know what people are saying to me, "Brother Ron, you're the only pastor that's ever been in my house." That's because I'm a pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not an easy thing. I love it. I love it. Don't you get me wrong. I love it. But you know, all those hours you was playing ball with your kids, my kids didn't see me. I was either at school, at church, or working, or out chasing somebody else's youngins. And I even had one of my kids throw that up to me one time and said, well, you don't have time for me, but you have time for everybody else. And I said, but baby, that's my calling. I have to do that. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Everybody's not going to get that. I'm going to get it. But wait a minute. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You know what I'm going to do with mine? I don't know what you're going to do with yours, but you know what I'm going to do with mine? I'm going to take it off and say, Lord, I don't deserve none of this. For what you have been held today, and I'm going to lay him at his feet. And then I'm going to weep on his feet. And I'm going to kiss his feet. And I'm going to say, God, Lord Jesus, this is yours. This ain't mine. You were the pastor in me. You were the soul winner in me. You were the righteous one in me. It's you. It's all you. If it wasn't for you, where would I be, Lord? So we got crams. If that inspires you, go at it. But you know what Jesus said? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They're not grievous. It shouldn't be hard for us to do this stuff, even if there is no reward. Because we love him because he first loved us. And I'm going to heaven, and I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. But can I say something? Don't think bad of me. I'm not really that excited about those crowns because they don't belong to me anyway. They belong to him. And boy, I can't wait to give them back to him. That's going to be the greatest thing of getting them, is giving them back. I was like, Lord, here they are. Because finally, I've got something to give him. I've been going through this world all these years since 1978, clinging to the cross, what he gave me. Clinging to that old cross all these years. I've been clinging to the cross. And that's what he gave me. And I've never had anything to give him back. I've never had anything worthy that I thought would be worthy even offering it to him. Because it all belonged to him before I got it anyway. But finally, I'll have something to give back. Amen? I preached on the journey to heaven this morning. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. Boy, it was good. I couldn't quit. I couldn't find a place to quit. And now tonight I'm talking about going to heaven and what's going to happen when I get there. And it reminded me of that song. Y'all sang it. Did we sing it this morning? Living below in this old sinful world. Did we sing that? Hardly a comfort can afford. Is that in the book? Look that up. Where could I go? Where could I go? Let's stand. Father, thank you.